Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I delight in the practical nature of the Bible, and in the New Testament especially. You see over and over again teaching of doctrine followed with practical steps of obedience, practical things that you can live out in your life to apply the truths and doctrines that have been taught. Paul does this, Peter does this, and here in Galatians, we're in the midst of this practical application of spiritual truth. So in other words, because we are spirit-filled believers, because we are saved because of the work of God in us, because of our faith in God, not because of our works, not because of obeying the law, not because we're some good people, but rather because of God at work in us, we ought to live this way. In chapter 6, we've talked about several imperatives. Imperatives are those things in the language that communicate an urgency and a need to be done. This is something that you ought to do, a way you ought to live. In chapter 6 and verse 1, we saw the imperative of restore. We ought to be a people who are about restoration. In verse 2, you see the word bear. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so we ought to be a people who help and support and uphold those around us. And we talked about in verse 4 the word prove. Let every man prove his own work. And so therefore we ought to be a people who demonstrate by our own lives a faithfulness, a demonstration of responsible living. This is the kind of people that we ought to be. And now we see in verse 6 the word communicate, the imperative. Verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Communicate. Another way of translating this would be partner or fellowship. This is the word koinonia, and if you've been under the teaching of the Word of God for any length of time, you might have heard that Greek word. And, you know, I don't make a big deal about Greek words. We don't need to. But koinonia is a really precious word. It's a precious word that communicates a partnership and a joining together of two entities. And as we look at this passage today, we need to think of that joining together, that partnership that ought to exist in the church amongst those who are taught and those who teach. In a church is made up of people, and the people bring together gifts and abilities that God has given so that the body can be alive and working in the community and in the lives of one another. That's why it's called the body of Christ. And we're all here today, and we are all equally members of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ being our head. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus today, you are a part of that body. Remember, we've talked about we're in relationships. We've talked about the importance of relationships. Well, today, one of the things that's highlighted in this passage is that relationship between the teacher and the student. What this does is this highlights that one of the gifts that God gives to the church is pastors and teachers. Now, from the outset, to preach on something like this is difficult, as you might imagine, because it could come across as I'm tooting my own horn and wanting you to get a handle on taking care of your pastor. So from the very get-go here, I believe it's important for you to understand personally, from my perspective, what it means to be your pastor-teacher. This is the calling that God has placed in my life. Many of you have not heard the story of how God brought my wife and I and family to the Grove, and I want to share that story with you, for it is an incredible testimony of God at work. I was a land surveyor for 8 years after graduating from Bible college, never intending to make a career of land surveying, but it was there, it paid the bills, and so I worked. That was the greatest training I have ever received, for I got to learn how to love people who do not love God. Up to that point, I thought everybody was supposed to act like a Christian, and I hadn't fully understood that if you don't have Christ, then you can't act like a Christian. So God taught me some powerful lessons in how to love people that do not love God. Well, in 2008, I got laid off because of the recession. Housing market tanked, and so therefore I didn't have a job. I had a baby on the way. Levi was on the way, and I was doing an internship with my pastor at the church down there in Pennsylvania, Middletown, Pennsylvania. There, I had the opportunity to preach, to teach, to sit in on counseling sessions, to sit in on meetings, and to learn what it was like to be a pastor. Because God had instilled within my heart a desire to minister as a shepherd, as a pastor, and as a teacher. I began to look for opportunities to serve for churches that were looking for pastors. But I will tell you, I was not looking for any lead pastor role. I figured, I've never done this before. I'd like to learn as an assistant. So I was looking for assistant roles, and nothing came. So one Sunday, I was preaching, and I was preaching on faith from Hebrews chapter 11. As I was preaching, in the congregation that day was a couple from this very church, Harold and Diane Walker. Now, what was Harold and Diane Walker doing in Pennsylvania? Well, they happened to be down there visiting their son, Ron, who was a part of the church down there and a part of the college and career group that I was leading along with my wife. Now, do you see some connections? Do you see the work of God? After I got finished preaching and talking, sharing my journey of faith, Harold and Diane came up to talk with me. And they proceeded to tell me about a place called Rural Grove, and a church that had not had a pastor for, I think, 18 months at that point. And they said, would you be willing to come and fill the pulpit? Just preach for us. And I figured, sure, at that point, I'll take any opportunity. So we packed up and we drove. Now, Rural Grove. It's a cool name, but it says something, doesn't it? For a suburban boy coming to Rural Grove. My family, my wife and I lived in a suburban type community, but both of us were from the country. So as we drove up 162 from the south, it was quite interesting, our thoughts. Where are we headed? What's happening up here? Is there anything happening up here? And I'm not picking on you and our community. It's just, it was very different for me. And so as we came up, we realized that this is not a place you come because it's just the greatest place you want to move to. And we realized as we came into these doors over there, and this place wasn't open and done yet, but we came in and we realized this is about people. Not about just this great place to live, but people. And we ministered that day, and some of you might remember that day, that some of you are still here, right? How many of you were here for that first Sunday? Yeah, there's still a few people. So you were here, and this is my side of the story, okay? You might have your own whole. we preached, and we left that Sunday and headed home, and my wife and I said, you know what, let's just apply and see what God does. Not really expecting for God to unite us and call us to this place, but we didn't know for sure. So let's try it. And wouldn't you know, we applied, and they continued calling, and we had follow-up interviews, and things kept happening. I came and filled the pulpit and preached again, candidated, and I think it was December 31st of 2008 that this congregation membership voted to call me as their pastor. Now, how does that happen? You know, how does a small little community church like Rural Grove get connected with a young man, a young family down in Pennsylvania if it wasn't for the working of God? And so God led us here in January. We moved in the midst of a snowstorm. We moved into the home. We began ministering on February 8th, 2009. And that day, I became a pastor. Had a heart for people and loved people, but I became your pastor. And I understood the responsibility placed upon me to teach and to preach, to lead, to care for a congregation that needed to be loved, for a congregation that needed to be led and encouraged in the truth. You see, this is the working of God. This is not about me. This is about Him, the Lord, and His church. And He moves people and He moves us where He wants us. And He uses us for His honor and for His glory. And since that time, I want you to understand and realize that God, through you, has cared for me and my family in an amazing way. We have never gone hungry. We have been loved and cared for. We have an incredible home. Through you, God has met our every need in abundance. And I affirm God's working in you. And what the students have done, those who are being taught to the teacher, is that you have partnered together in fellowship. And what you are doing, and I encourage you through the scriptures to continue to do, and if this is not your church home, wherever you are, you call your pastor, there is a need to fellowship and partner together for the needs of that teacher, for that minister. The scripture again says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. I see a second area of fellowship in this verse. There's not only this fellowship and partnership in the physical realm, but also a partnership and fellowship in the spiritual realm. Let him that is taught in the word fellowship or communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. One of those good things is the ministry of the gospel. As we think about ministry, let's do ministry together. It is important that as a church, we do not sit and soak and let the pastor or leadership do the serving. Rather, we serve together. And let us have this perspective of ministry where we partner and fellowship in all good things. And I believe one of those good things is the ministry of the gospel and the ministry of serving. And sadly, too many people, maybe not in this church, but maybe so, you know, in your heart, too many come to church on a Sunday, they do the deed, go to church, but that's the extent of their Christianity. They know they need to go to church. And who's going to fault them for, hey, I go to church? But listen, the Christian life is so much more than just going to church. as a teacher and a preacher, the drive for me to share with you is that the power of God works in people's lives to motivate us to do what? To serve, to minister. And this is one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus uses this phrase in his ministry. He that has ears to what? Hear, let him hear. What does that say? You have ears to hear, take in the truth, and let it come back out in life. Don't just let the sound waves bounce around in there and just dissipate, but rather let them come in and communicate into your mind, into your heart, into action for life. And embedded in this passage, I believe, is a fellowship, not just in physical needs between the student and the teacher, between those who are being taught and the pastor-teacher, but also in the spiritual ministry. A fellowship and a knitting together of our hearts and our lives so that we go forth together in serving. So where are you in this? I realize that this is not something we talk about too often. But where is God challenging your, how is God challenging your heart in this idea of fellowship between teacher, student, between those who are taught and those who are teaching? There is a principle in the New Testament that emphasizes, that encourages us to take care of those who teach us. In what way are you involved in that kind of ministry? Have you thought about that? In what way are you partnering in the ministry with your teacher, your pastor? Are you just relying on him to do the work of the ministry? Do you realize that Ephesians chapter 4, what does it tell us? Ephesians chapter 4 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In this passage in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, I see embedded here the important teaching of the body of Christ and us working together. I see the importance of taking care of those who minister God's truth among you. In Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we read these words, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" 1 Corinthians 9:14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Why is this so important? What's the big deal about this? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. "For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Why talk about restoration? Why talk about bearing one another's burdens? Why talking about proving your own work and being responsible? Why talk about fellowship amongst the body and amongst those who are taught and the teacher? Why emphasize these things? Because we serve a God who sees it all. And we ought not to be deceived into thinking that we can get away with a Christianity in name only by just walking around as saying we're Christians but not living as such. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Do not just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. And your walk needs to match your talk. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Does he see your life? Does he see everything about your life? He knows everything about it. Too many are deceived into thinking, I'm going to get away with this. Or how about this one? I'll have time to get my life right. Do you realize what you're saying? You're setting yourself up as God. You're calling the shots. Don't be deceived, church. The instructions of the scriptures, not just here, but in other places about how we ought to live as Christians, are there so that we are sincere and genuine in the Christian faith, so that the church has a testimony that is true and right in the midst of this crooked world. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You understand the principle? You put the seed in the ground, and what comes up? Whatever kind of seed you put in the ground, that's the plant that comes up. The church, we don't have time to be fooling around, to be messing around. The Lord is coming soon. What we sow, where we invest our time and our energies and our resources, tells the story. For they will reap. They will come to fruition. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He says, verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. This principle for me became real in the last couple of years as a man living in a wicked world, right? We've got all kinds of things around us that draw us and excite our flesh and want our flesh to be satisfied. You don't have to look far for those kinds of things. The commercials, media, all these different things that present themselves as this is good and you want this. I've shared this before, but I don't mind sharing it again because I think it's really a lesson that I have really benefited from in my spiritual walk. The battle between the spirit and the flesh. We've already talked about that in chapter 5. You walk in the Spirit, you're not fulfilled the lust of the flesh. One of the areas that I have in the past, and I still the battle is still there at times, is when I check the news. Right? That's an innocent type thing, is it? You check the news because you want to know what's going on. And I do try to keep up with the current events. But what I found very interesting was, what news stories was I drawn to? And I began to see a pattern in my life of news stories that had to do with fights, blood, affairs, and I began to notice I was drawn to these headlines. And at times even click on them and read those articles. And you know what? Even look at pictures that would be up in these articles. Why? Because my flesh was excited, and so I was feeding the flesh. Is it okay to admit this, right? I'm not the only one. The reality of the flesh is so powerful. And so I praise God for opening my eyes to this trend, and I realized that this isn't right. Something's not right here. My flesh is getting excited, and there's a stamping out of the Spirit, and I walk away from these readings not fulfilled in the Spirit, but rather in the flesh, which ends up making me what? Feel dirty. Making me unfulfilled and wanting more. This is the power of pornography, if you haven't realized that. A plague church in our world and even in churches. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And I was experiencing that. And I began to realize that something has to change in my life. And so I realized I have to pay attention to when the flags go up. When the Spirit says, ding, 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 that's a flesh thing. And then it came about, what am I going to do when that happens? Because it hadn't been happening. I was just, Spirit, you're back here. But instead, God is encouraging me to put the Spirit in the front. And when the flesh gets excited, realize, no, that's not for me. And this is what we need to be doing. And I'm not exalting me. This tension is real for me. But I'm sharing a lesson that God is teaching me that very well could be a key for releasing you from bondage to the flesh. Because you sow to the flesh, you reap the corruption, the decay, the unfulfillment in life. And so, what do we do? The Spirit alerts us. You can trust Him. You can trust the Spirit. The Spirit is always faithful to alert you. And as He alerts you, you say, no, I see the headline. I'm not going there. And there is a sense of excitement and freedom as you turn away, as you scroll past, as you change that channel, whatever it is, there's a sense of freedom, and it's a freedom not because of you or me, it's a freedom because the Spirit of God is at work in you. So, you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, you sow to the Spirit. What do you reap? You reap life everlasting. Praise be to God that this is even an option for you and to me, for you and me. So, we're in fellowship together in the ministry. We're in fellowship as my responsibility as pastor, teacher, is feed and nourish you with spiritual truth. And you care for your pastor, and I affirm you for the way you have cared for our family. But take seriously our God. He is not mocked. The world would want you to think He is a disconnected God, but He is not. He knows it all. And He is intimately connected and involved in your life to the very point that the Spirit is at work in you, alerting you and reminding you of what truth is. So hear the principle. Where you sow, how you sow, so you will also reap. That's what you're going to get back. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. I think we understand the equation. So Lord, thank you for the blessing of the truths of God's word. And thank you that we get to know this truth. For Lord, it is so equipping for us in our lives today. Lord, you're empowering us. You're edifying us as your church. So thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for helping us, helping me today. Lord, may we have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. May we be changed by these truths, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.